Socks.
Socks.
I like socks.
Do you like socks?
Cause I do.
Socks.
They're here.
They're there.
They're everywhere.
I even like to wear them as underwear.
I've got a lot of socks at my disposal. Let me show you my collection. This whole section of my drawer is full of big old smelly socks.
Socks.
I like socks.
Do you like socks?
Cause I do.
Socks.
They're here.
They're there.
They're everywhere.
If your feet are cold, then take a pair of
socks. Are quite the treasure. You can use them as a strainer or a container. Look at all this awesome shit that you can put inside a sock. It's white and fluffy and inviting to your foot. It's so exciting. I can't wait all day and nighting just to get some fucking socks.
Socks, you ask? You will soon find out. What the hell are they talking about? This is Ego and Vice, episode 127.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, this is Mike. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 127. Thank you so much for coming back. Season 7 has been rolling on and really having a good time. Booked solid until May. I don't know where I'm going to find the time to do it all, but I love doing it and I'm going to continue to do it. Thank you so much for supporting the new website, egoandvicepodcast.com. It's been... I've got some comments. People like it. I was a little worried about it just because, I don't know, websites, right? I guess. But it really is. Like I say, it's the one-stop shop for Ego and Vice. And the usual question I get is, how can I listen to the podcast? And ever since I launched the website, I think I've gotten one less question of that question. So, hey, success. I'll take it in small increments. Anyway, today on the podcast, I have three members of the band Root Cause. I have Alex, Liam, and you know him, you love him, Stuart. Stuart is also in Neon Ghost House, so he is becoming a quick veteran of Ego and Vice. And Stu was having some sock problems, but that'll all get sorted out in the wash. Wink, wink. Right now, I'm going to play a song by Root Cause, then we're going to come back with a conversation with the guys. So let's do that. This is Ego and Vice.
I swear to God, I own socks.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back. This is episode 127. This is Ego and Vice. I am sitting here, as promised in the intro, with the three members of the Ottawa band Root Cause. I'm here with Liam, Alex, and repeat guest, return guest, Stu. How are you guys doing?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, we're pretty doing good. Thanks.
Yeah. How's the week treating you? It's Monday. Shit. I guess it's not much happened so far, eh?
Yeah, it's been
a bit of a mess so far.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I woke up and then I realized that I actually had two midterms to do.
Oh, well.
This morning, so.
That is that's stressful. Yeah, I don't have midterms anymore.
Yeah,
that's, I woke up and I realized I had to do a podcast, and that kind of stressed me out a little bit.
That's just the worst. You would not want to be doing that on a Monday.
That would suck. So what we normally do, or what I normally do on Ego and Vice, is I'll do kind of like a round table. You can introduce yourself, what you do in the band. And the question this week will be, I'm on the spot. I didn't really think of one. So tell me your favorite local music moment of 2023. And we'll start with.
Okay. I am Liam. I'm play guitar and sing in Root Cause. And I think my favorite moment I've seen so far this 2024, you said?
2023.
2024. Well, my favorite moment of 2024 was Rich Chris crowd diving.
In which one of his... Oh, was he... been playing one of his 18 bands? Or
just a patron, just a showgoer.
Oh,
this
he was
evening
just there.
And he just, you know, he said he hasn't done it in about 6 years, but he thought the mood was right, and he just chucked himself off the stage of the Rainbow
and
on his belly, and the crowd caught him.
Oh, they caught him. Well,
and it was it was good to see.
He's a pretty well respected guy, so I guess you should catch Rich, right?
Yeah.
If it's anyone else, they'd probably let him go. Where the crowd parts. Whoop. Nope. Ain't happening. Anyway, good one.
I'm Alex. I play bass. I think one of my favorite moments was actually in 2023, but it was, you know, within a year from today. We went down to Brantford, and two of our friends' bands were playing there, Guest Room Status and Dark Trees. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome to see it. People love them just as much as we do in another city.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? You can sell your own city out. People know who you are, so it's easy to bring a crowd out. You go to a different city, and if there's some buzz, there's some traction, and they're coming out for you, then you know you're doing something right? Anyway, moving on.
I'm Stuart. I play drums, and my favorite moment is seeing Steven and the Stab Wounds and their use of sampling. A lot of little moments where I was like, oh, you could do that. That's awesome.
It's a great band name too.
Yeah, they're cool guys.
Steven and the Stab Wounds. All right, so let's talk about Root Cause. Who wants to delve deep into the origins of Root Cause?
This is a weird start. Liam and I met in the parking lot of the dorms at Algonquin College, mm-hmm. where I was skateboarding in the middle of winter, and Liam just walked right through the parking lot straight to me. I was all alone. It was a Sunday, and Liam said, oh, no way, you skate too. Mm. And then we've been friends since.
Did.
Yeah.
Okay. When he was coming at you, did you think you were going to have to fight him?
Oh, I thought I was going to get robbed.
Okay.
He had his hood up. He had a black toque on.
Seems a little menacing. Came straight at me.
Yeah. Empty parking lot.
Mm. Running, too. I was running. I was
in a real hurry.
I remember when I was a kid and I used to skateboard in the winter, we used to go to the parkades, like the indoor parkades. And as soon as your grip grip tape got wet, that was it. It was the end. Or the security guard, like, chased you.
Kicked you out, yeah.
Yeah. But we tried. We tried. Minus 30. All right, so you guys realized that you played instruments and stuff. Yeah. What kind of background do you have with playing music? Like, did you have you always played guitar? Do you write songs? Like, what's going on?
For me, I started playing guitar, like, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a band just playing guitar in high school and whatnot, and then we just kind of broke apart. But then I always kind of played, like, just acoustic and wrote, like, folk kind of songs. And then, but I always wanted to do, like, this kind of thing. And then, yeah, we just started jamming, and then we're like, all right, we got to try and find a drummer, and that was it.
Cool. Have you had previous bands before this?
Nothing other than, like, playing with my friends in my garage.
Yeah, garage bands. Awesome. Well, that's where you start, right? You kind of fuck around with your, like, your first few bands. That's... No, that's going into a completely different story. Who is it? Whose was it? Oh, it was Guest Room Status. It was the Guest Room Status is their first band ever.
Yeah.
And it's like what you were just talking about. Like, yeah. It's like, I used to fuck around with my friends in garage. That's how first bands are supposed to be, right? Guest Room Status are just like doing fine. I don't know. It's like a weird, I don't know. It doesn't happen too often. Anyway. So when you started jamming, was it just the two of you? Like, you said you had to find a drummer. How did you, run into Stuart, or did he seek you out?
I kind of seeked them out. They had a drummer for a little while, and then they were looking for a drummer, and they were on like a little bit of a, like, I guess, hiatus. But I saw that they had some shows booked, and I had heard that they didn't have a drummer, and I had offered. I was like, because I had seen them live a couple times, and then played a show with them, and I really liked kind of the stuff that they were doing, and I was like, yeah, this band's too fucking good to not be playing shows. Like, there's shows coming up. So I hit them up and just said, like, hey, if you guys ever need a drummer, like, for a one-off show or something like that, let me know, because I would, like, one, I really wanted to play with them, and then two, also, I want them to still play just in the meantime. And then first show I ever played with them was at skate park with actually Thundercock and Bane Zine.
There you go.
And it was a really cool show, and then kind of hung out a bit more, and then joined the band, and here we are.
Just for my curiosity, and we can cut this out after if you want, what happened to the original drummer?
Things just didn't work out. We had different tastes per se.
Yeah,
it was just like a bad match in the end, and like at the same time as someone is a drummer in your band, it doesn't mean that your social lives really line up.
Yeah, I guess so. Being in bands are hard. Finding the right members are hard. If you can find good chemistry and stuff, it's more important than playing sometimes. You know what
I
mean? I've always said that. Like, you might not be the greatest guitar player in the world, but you're a really good dude and you gel really well. You'd rather have that guy than the super fucking crazy good guy, and he's a complete dickhead, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, sometimes, you know, I'm sure it was on good terms to a certain extent, but who knows? So I've been listening to Root Cause over the last couple days just to kind of get associated with it.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of research. I try and just try to jot some stuff down to kind of, you know, have something to talk about. And your EP, Chuck It Out, was released in November of last year.
Yeah.
And Sandy from Teenage Fiction produced it.
Yeah, he did. Recorded, engineered, produced.
How was that experience?
It was really good. Like, Sandy's a great, really cool guy, really good to work with, and also really technically good at, like, making sure everything is mic'd correctly, and it's just, he's really, really good to work with.
Cool, cool, cool. Where did you do it? Did he come to you? Because I know he does, like a lot of mobile stuff too, does he not?
Yeah. He came to us, and then we just did it in the basement, and
cool.
Yeah.
How long did it take? How many songs are there? There's like, well, I noticed that you had some singles. Did you do all that recording at the one time, or did you have a couple singles and then you put it all together as an EP?
So every song except Unravel was done with Sandy all in 2 days.
Okay.
And then we just released it kind of to spread it out a bit and try and do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Recording's expensive, and if you can find someone to do it, that is accommodating to like your budget or to your time, and depending on what you want too. You don't really want to go into some crazy big studio and pay thousands of dollars for like a 3-song EP, right? And guys like Sandy are super valuable, because not only does he do it for you, I'm sure he loved doing it too, because he's just so like music is, that's what he is. He just has this aura of kind of music around him, and he's very smart too. And he's very nice. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah,
right?
He is.
So
totally.
I actually touched base with Sandy. He's been on the show before, on Ego and Vice before, and I think it was around the same time before I took my vacation. I was thinking about just doing like some acoustic stuff. And I can record it, but it's just, I don't know when to quit when I do it myself. So I just asked him, I sent him a text and I said, hey, how do you do your acoustic? And he got back to me right away. Big, long thing, super friendly. And I'm like, man, I might record with him just because.
Mm-hmm. You should.
Yeah, he's really, really cool.
Yeah, sometimes you need an outside opinion, because I do a lot of recording by myself here. And I just, like I said, I never know when to quit.
Fair.
It's like I have like 12 tracks of harmonies on like one chorus, and I'm like, I should stop, because I'll never be able to do it. Anyway.
Well, you know, you can just hit every single note and then click
which ones
together.
Work. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if I ever try and play it live, it's gonna sound pretty thin. Anyway. Who's Chuck?
I think Liam knows Chuck the best.
Chuck is just he's kind of an uncle. He's a family friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a chunkle.
Yeah, exactly. He's my stepdad's good friend. Mm-hmm. Growing up, and just a very eccentric guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just almost like Santa Claus kind of vibe, like about, I don't know, like just 300-400 pound guy, really super jolly, nice long brown hair. Mm-hmm. Great big beard, super nice guy. And you know, I kind of parted ways, like, with my stepfather and such. You know, things kind of go the way they do with life. And
such is life, my friend.
I ended up seeing Chuck again after about 10 years in an LCBO in Smith Falls, Ontario. I got a good friend out there, Gail Hart Lewis, and whatnot. But anyways, I was in there, and I saw him, and I was just like, oh, shit. And then I just said, all right, peace out, Chuck. And then yeah, that's how it came about. So
did you tell Chuck, next time you see him, are you going to say, did you know that you're my muse?
I will tell him that, certainly.
I think that's a very, very romantic moment between you and Chuck, and I think you should definitely do it.
I'll let him know.
That's really cool. It's like the Backseat Dragon have, what's the bear's name?
Oh, Steven.
Steven and the stab wound.
You got Steven. Yeah, you got Steven, and you got Chuck, right? And I said that to... I'm going to repeat myself, and I hope people don't put it together, but at the end of your career, will the music of Root Cause be the soundtrack of Chuck's life?
Oh, I sure hope not.
I sure hope not.
I think that if we put together a soundtrack of Chuck's life,
it'd be very prog.
Yeah, it'd be very prog. Mm. Like, lots of, like, horns and, yeah.
Okay. Maybe one
big
like
volume
song.
Saws, like
yeah, some flutes.
Jethro okay. Tull kind of song. Well, that's a good segue. The music of Root Cause. Who does most of the writing? You guys do it all together, or?
I feel like me or Alex will think of a riff, and then I'll like sit on it, work with it a bit, and then kind of see where it goes, and then yeah.
How do you? And you're the vocalist. Like you sing in the band. Do you write all your own lyrics?
Yeah, for most of the songs. Alex wrote most of the, like, almost all the lyrics. I would say all the lyrics to Basement Song.
Mm-hmm. I find that when you're a lyricist in a band, like, when it comes to music, and I'm the same way when I'm with my bands, it's just, like, we all kind of share on the music, and then the lyricist writes. How do you feel about, like, sharing lyrics? Can you sing other people's lyrics? Could you go to the band members? Could you go to Alex and say, hey, write me lyrics to sing? Or is it
like
kind of a personal thing that you want to kind of keep close to your...
I can, and the thing with that is I can't just, like, sing. Like, Alex will, like, send me a text with, like, a bunch of lyrics that he's put in a song together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'll have to change certain syllables and, like, the way that the words kind of, like, go together just to fit the... Because I'll usually have, like, a vocal melody...
Like an editor.
...in my head beforehand, like, just while I'm kind of reading it and think the way that I... See, so like in that sense, I can, like, I don't really have a issue with that, but I feel like it's hard for me to, like, make it exactly the way that he was envisioning it.
I find that I think any vocalist does have lyrics in his mind too of something, and I find that if you have that right, and you don't say you just have a chorus, right,
mm-hmm.
and then someone adds maybe a verse or a line, and if it doesn't, like, maybe the words fit together, but it doesn't fit the same kind of feel, it's just like, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm kind of like that. I hold lyrics kind of close to my chest when it comes to things. It's like, I'll just do the lyrics and stuff, and I think sometimes it's easier, but.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this? I'll throw this out there. If you're super gelling with instruments,
mm-hmm.
and you guys sometimes, like, you're in a band long enough, you know exactly what they're going to play before they play. Do you think that works with lyrics too, where it's like, I know what he's going to say next type of stuff?
I feel like there's been some times where stuff just comes together well, and one of those examples is Unravel.
Mm-hmm.
Liam had part of the song ready to go. And he would just hum it. And then one day, I can't remember what we were coming home from, but we came home from some event and Liam started playing it. He started humming it. And then the words were just popping into my head. So that one is one that's like got sections of the song that Liam wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the melody is still what Liam had, but the words.
And same with... with this Who's Got Smokes and Little Lulu / Hindenburg. We wrote that song kind of together, actually, just like playing, like, kind of line by line, just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's neat when things just kind of, like, as a band, I guess you should write together. It shouldn't be like that kind of the dictator comes in and says, play this and play that and play that. And if you can share music, you can share lyrics. And if it all falls together, then, you know, you have a good thing going. And if it comes, like, easy and you start to get, like, not a pattern, I'd say, but just a real kind of groove, then it's, you have your own sound, right? And that's mm-hmm. who you are. So, how are things as a three piece? I think you're the first three piece that I've had on the show in probably ever, I think.
Backseat.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're the second. Very good.
You're so close.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
God damn it.
All right, we got to find one member to kick it. That way we're the first two.
Two-piece.
There you go. Yet? Yeah. No, yeah. You, all right, you
rock,
can do that.
Scissors.
Or draw straws.
You do a
yeah.
Fired on the air. It's momentous. With my band, Goat, yeah, I've been a three-piece forever. And I've had other guitar players come in.
Yeah.
And it works for a bit, and then they kind of leave the band, and I'm kind of like, I'm kind of glad you're gone now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because, I don't know, there was just a certain chemistry with the guys that I had, you know? So are you looking to stay three, or are you going to expand, or just come what may?
You know, I feel like I'm personally stuck between wanting another guitar player and also, like, wanting to stay a three-piece. Because I feel like a lot of, like, the new songs per se have, like, lead guitar parts that go over top of, like, the singing and also the chords. But I'm also, like, stuck because, yeah, like I said, I like the three-piece kind of energy and portability, I guess.
You're right. There's definitely an ease to having a smaller band. It's less herding cats, as they say. Like, you see people that have five-piece, six-piece bands. It's great. Awesome. Very big, full sound, but the logistics of it all can get a little bit more complicated.
It's five people now that have to be at the same spot.
Yeah, right? Everyone's it's five schedules
that
have to kind of jive. When three, it's like still three schedules, but it's easier. And I just... One thing I really liked about having that second guitar player in, because I play guitar and sing at the same time, was it was a relief where I could just stop playing guitar for a while. When you're the only guitar player in a three-piece rock band, you kind of can't stop playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just let it breathe, and I could just kind of sing at parts because I knew that, like, it was just the rhythm part, you know what I mean? It was kind of taken care of, so that was cool. That's the only thing I could say relating as a three-piece band, which way it was good to have a fourth person in the band.
I mean, I love the logistics of it. Like, we have a show in Guelph, for instance, this Friday, and, like, Alex was like, hey, you guys want to play a show in Guelph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, right, like, it's easier to write back like 2 minutes later.
Yeah,
we can figure it out. Yeah.
Right.
As for sound, I love doing a three piece. I mean, I'll never be opposed if like with another member. If it helps out with the songs, it helps out with the songs. But it's like same thing like Liam said, where it's like I love being a three piece, but it's also like if it does us justice, then why not, right?
Yeah, man, I completely agree. Like three piece bands are just they work. And when you listen to the music though, like when I listen to the EP, it's very full sounding. I don't know if Sandy layered a lot of guitars or extra parts and stuff like that, but if that's more or less you know, meat and potatoes your sound, it sounds very full because the guitars are busy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, or all the instruments are busy, right? So, I think with three-piece, because you are just three, you have to overcompensate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make it just a little busier, a little bit more energy, you know what I mean? You gotta work just a little harder than, you know, a five like me who could hang back once in a while.
I think that all of us are kind of at the spot where there's not really any wasted time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not never doing anything, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely.
Like, if we're between songs, Stu is still, like, making some pretty sounds on the cymbals and stuff. Like, we're just not wasting any space.
There's no, like, no dead air. Awkward. Yeah. Awkward silence.
Yeah. Unless it's there on purpose.
Yeah. Like, which is also, I'm a huge fan of awkward silence.
Our silences are on purpose.
Especially on stage, I think it's kind of funny when you're just, like, and you pee your pants or something, you're just scared.
No, you gotta wait till it's completely dead quiet, then you go doo-doo, the audible tuning.
Oh, yeah.
The loud tuning is really awesome.
Nothing ruins a fucking moment like fucking onstage tuning. Audible tuning.
That's really sick. Yeah, the blow whistle works really well for that.
We should start doing that more, or I'll just tune my drums like mid song.
B flat. Perfect.
Get the key out and everything. Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
Or just, hey guys, I got to go for a piss. You keep it busy for a minute and then just go take a piss or go eat a sandwich.
Yeah, just
come back.
We're adult
take
diapers.
A phone call.
Yeah, sign take in. A phone call. Come back.
Call your girlfriend. Come back.
That'd be funny getting a call mid song and you'd be like, oh, I got to take this. Hang on.
You just hang back. You guys keep playing. Just hit the kick or something. That'd be pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
A previous member in our band once sent his girlfriend money in the middle of one of our sets.
Oh yeah.
She was real down about it, but you know, that's how it goes.
So as far as the band, what do you write about? What is
okay? That's a good question. I'm gonna go first while Liam thinks about it. I think the songs that I've contributed to are written are usually about people that I know, because I think my life, I've been pretty lucky that nothing too screwed up has happened for me to write about, so I just write about the screwed up things that happen in my friends' lives.
I write about my fucked up friends.
Yeah, and hopefully they don't notice what I said about them.
They're all looking at each other as the song's on it. What the fuck? Anyway, that's cool. So more of not real topical stuff, just kind of like what's going on in your lives, situations, I guess, you know, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Not always boyfriend, girlfriend, stuff like that, but just the human condition, if you will, and what's going on in your life. Yeah, I find that's the easiest thing to kind of pull from, right? And last thing we need is another fucking political band or someone trying to preach or teach you a lesson or something. And music is, from my opinion, it should be something you can just kind of relate to and get lost in and write about, you know, what you want. And I write a lot of introspective stuff too, because it's I have a lifetime of material to pull from, so what the hell, right?
Fair. Yeah, totally.
So as far as live shows go, when you guys got together, where was the first show you played? That was the one you did with, yeah, I think you already said it.
Steven and the Stab Wounds, Juventude, and Pink Cloud Summer.
Cool. And how did it go? Did you guys gel well on stage right away?
We had a bulkier band. We were actually a four-piece at the time, our very first show.
Jesus, after all that three-piece talk, you hit me with that?
Yeah, well,
and it was at Avant-Garde, and
we're three piece at a heart. But yeah, it went well especially considering it was our first show.
What? When was that? Like, what? What year was that?
Last April.
Last March.
Last March.
Okay. And can you talk about some of the other shows that you've been playing? Especially the ones that you weren't in, that one they were just talking about. That was, I guess,
I'd seen them. It was the second show at the Rainbow, right?
Yeah, the second show at the Rainbow.
The second show, and then that I still remember. I was like front row, and then I remember seeing them. And first thing I thought is, "Whoa, these guys are really sweaty right now." Or Liam was like super sweaty, and then I didn't know what to expect. I had heard the name, and then they had me sold right away. Mm-hmm. And then I'll never forget the first time I heard "Peace Out, Chuck." I was like, "I love this." So, no, I caught them at their first show, and then the Dom. And then House of Targ with Teenage Fiction and Class of 91. That was an awesome show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first show I played with them was at the skate park. And after that, it was the EP release show.
Cool. So relatively, you're pretty new band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Like within a year old.
Under a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you already have an EP and you've already played a ton of shows. Do you have any touring plan? Do you want to play out of town? Have you played out of town?
We've played Toronto. Toronto once. We're going to Guelph Friday. This coming weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Traveling as a three-piece is fun, too. Everyone gets a seat, right?
That's Well, two people get seats. One person gets the roof box.
Yeah. The drummer. It's like an initiation thing. You know?
Okay.
It's an initiation that like goes on. It's a long initiation.
Okay.
We haven't figured out an end date for it.
No,
yet.
It's gonna keep happening.
I mean, they feed me.
We give them snacks.
Barely.
What do they feed you though?
Barely beer, anything.
Leftover beer that they couldn't finish.
Like heel beer, like bottom warm piss bottom.
Beer? Only Labatt 50. So it's
the bottom of a Labatt 50, and spaghetti noodles when you don't put sauce on them and just kind of slide them under the door.
You know what's worse than a bottom of a Labatt 50?
What?
The top of a Labatt 50.
Oh.
The worst part of a Labatt 50 is the cap. The lid.
The lid is the only problem with a Labatt 50.
Do they give me socks, though? Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. Thank you for putting them on.
He refuses to put the socks on.
It's usually a bit of a fight.
Yeah, maybe we should touch on that.
I don't think we have to. But
the elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. So I wasn't wearing socks. And
we took a 2-minute break, and it was brought to my attention that Stu was not wearing socks.
Thanks, Liam.
And I guess I should ask. I gave him socks because his feet, maybe it's me, but his, like, anyone's feet, like, from outside were on my carpet, and I
was wearing shoes.
Okay.
The
inside of your shoes was then on my carpet?
He was barefoot in the snow.
But Stu, can we ask, why don't you have socks?
So, when I was just a boy, I used to never wear socks, really, but I had Spider-Man socks, and I was perfectly fine wearing Spider-Man socks. And see, I didn't bring my lucky pair of Spider-Man socks. They were in the wash, so came here barefoot.
Okay. Up there with the barefooted greats, like Paul McCartney on the Abbey Road cover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No one asked Paul why he didn't have socks on. Well, they do now, but at the time, they probably didn't.
Yeah. I think he was a government psyop. I think that's
right.
I thought the Beatles was a psyop.
Beatles were the first industry plant.
Yeah.
Wasn't the reason Paul didn't have socks on in that cover is because he's not the real Paul McCartney, and he was trying to tell people, look at me, I'm not wearing shoes. I'm not the real Paul McCartney.
Well, that's why I don't wear socks, because I'm not the real Stu McFarlane.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
that guy's still in the roof box.
I'm still in the roof. I mean, that guy's still in the roof box. I'm here.
What are you guys talking about? There's only two of you here.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Who are you talking about? You keep like looking over there. I don't even understand. Anyway, so, what do you guys got coming up? What's 2024 look like?
We're playing in Guelph on Friday this week. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess this week.
It will have happened by the time this comes out, to my understanding.
And it was an amazing concert.
Yeah, it was really fun.
We killed it.
We fucking killed it.
We killed it.
We killed it.
Awesome. Very good.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
We're looking at playing some other out-of-town shows. We actually just started recording something very secret today with Sandy again. And that should be coming out sometime this year, hopefully.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. All right. Are you guys... I have a game. It's a question game.
Yep.
Would you guys be up for playing the question game?
Yeah. Sure.
It's called 13 Questions with the Band. So okay. We're good to go?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Right on. Time for 13 Questions with the Band. Yes, this segment's back again. It's called 13 Questions, but I only asked 6, maybe 5. Okay, we're back. And we're sitting here with Liam, Alex, and Stu from Root Cause. And we're going to play 13 Questions with the Band. As I always say, I have 13 questions, but I don't ask all 13. I just pull from the 13 questions.
Oh, it's like Russian roulette.
No. Stu's been on the podcast before, and he's been asked these questions, so I was torn. I didn't know what to do, and I was going to ask him the same questions, but then the whole sock thing happened. So now I'm going to...
What sock thing?
I'm going to try something. Who are we talking about?
We don't talk about it.
I don't even know what we're talking
the
about.
The first rule about sock thing is you don't talk about sock thing.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay. First question for... Root Cause. What was the very first concert you ever attended? Or ever
I think
saw?
I'll go first.
Hang on.
My first show ever was... it was kind of a cosmic fusion. It was at the mall in Brockville. Mm-hmm. And it was a Barney type thing. That was like the first like kind of musical introduction I had to
like performing. Barney the dinosaur?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'd go see Barney right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of ass out, works for his brother now, I think, but in the time
he's
kind of
washed up now.
Yeah.
Barney's washed up?
Yeah, I heard he's working for his brother now or something. I don't know.
Purple fades. It's a royal color, but it bleeds very quickly.
Mhm.
I love purple. Alex,
all right,
first concert.
That's a really good question. If we're talking about like concerts and just like the idea, in high school, I was really big into psychedelics as a kid does in high school because you're bored and you got nothing better to do in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And I saw Jerry Garcia on a trip.
Oh,
and
cool.
He was playing to me personally and it was awesome. But real concerts, I saw Roger Waters at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
Good show?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. It's more like an experience than a show, and it's probably the stupidest thing I've ever said, but there's like screens and stuff floating
there's
around.
There's still time.
Stuff falling from the sky. It's like
real. We can do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't he wear like costumes and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's like costumes. There's
like choreography and everything.
Some like little monkey on a tricycle. It's pretty sick.
That's pretty. Yeah. That's awesome. I've seen like the live. He's got like a Netflix thing for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing.
Yeah, that's like basically exactly what I saw.
It was sick. Yeah, it was really cool.
Okay, Stu, what are people with electrophobia afraid of?
Electricity?
You're wrong. It's chickens.
God damn it. How did you not know that?
All right. You're getting hit out back. This is it. Okay. Next question. What is your desert island record? If you were stuck on a desert island for a year or forever and you can only bring one piece of music.
Oh, my God. Mine would be Out of the Woods by David Wilcox.
Very good. Very good.
It's a strong answer. I don't know if I've ever thought about this. Transformer by Lou Reed.
Oh, yeah?
An important one to me.
Yeah, interesting. Very good. Stu.
Yeah.
What's... sorry. I gotta edit this better. What's the ruling dynasty of Monaco?
It's actually funny you asked that. I don't know.
You're wrong. It's Grimaldi.
Fuck.
You're so close, buddy.
That was close. That was close.
I was going to say Patrick Swayze, naked.
The Swayze Express.
The Swayze Express.
Nice, nice. All right, next question. If Root Cause could open up for any band, who would they be?
Oh, I feel like we know the answer. And
it would
be
the ex-ambassadors at the Bronson Center on April 25th.
Isn't that happening?
It is.
Oh, okay.
So, please, Sean Scallon, let us do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's one guy who can make this happen. Please, let us do this.
I'll supply you with all the popcorn in the world.
A vegan popcorn.
Vegan. Yeah, vegan popcorn.
Did you have the same answer?
Oh, no, mine's... There's a very famous Super Bowl halftime show with a very important person who flies around and... I feel like because we're saying any band, this also means any time period, and we go back in time and we play with Creed at the Super Bowl halftime show.
That would be the dream. With arms wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Stu.
Yeah.
Where in the human body would you find the medulla oblongata?
Liam, you're a nurse.
Yeah, but he can't help you.
Is it right beside the prostate?
Close. The brain.
Oh, fuck.
That's okay. The brain's right next to that one thing that's next to the other thing.
Okay. Next question. If you had a time machine and you could go back in time to visit any musical experience, what would it be?
It would be the Super Time halftime. It would be the Super Bowl halftime show to see Creed. That would be my ultimate moment in time. 100%.
I'm sensing a Creed theme.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I feel like since I already answered that, I'm going to give my second. And let's go see that one Fugazi show when Ian was hanging in the basketball net. That seemed pretty sick.
Ian MacKay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go see anything with Ian MacKay. I've seen Fugazi live.
Oh, really?
How are
yeah,
they?
It was a long time ago. I didn't appreciate it. I wish I saw them tomorrow, but unfortunately I can't. But yeah, I was younger. It was in Minneapolis in the 90s.
Oh, nice.
At a bar called First Avenue, which is still open today. And it's owned, well, it was owned. I don't think it is anymore. You know Prince, the singer Prince?
Yeah,
he's dead now, but it was his bar. It was all purple.
Oh, really?
And black. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, like I said, I used to live in Thunder Bay, and Minneapolis was like 7 hours. So whenever something big came through, we'd always jump in a van and cruise up and check it out. So
nice, that's awesome.
All right, Stu, you're off the hook. I'll ask you a real question. Yeah, same thing, I guess. The time machine.
Pink Floyd, Live at Pompeii, or Creed at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
That would be better.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, we got a couple more here. Let's see. Name something that you listened to within the last 4 hours.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to do one, and it's going to be shouting out a local band, Delonia. We were just listening to that.
True. Yeah, we were just listening to Delonia.
Yeah. The song No More Apricots. Mm-hmm.
The Goat and Your Mom.
We were just listening to that, too. And an unreleased Teenage Fiction song, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Unreleased Teenage Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can leak it live on air if you want right now.
Yeah, play it on your phone. Just hold it up to the microphone.
Yeah, we're going to leak it. Sorry.
Sorry, Sandy. Okay. Let me see. A couple more. If you could have a drink with any musician or anybody, I guess, live or dead, who would it be?
What's this? David Wilcox, for sure.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, I would love to meet Chuck.
Chuck. I kind of want to meet Chuck too now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Chuck would be a good one. Or Steve from Steven and the Stab Wounds.
True. I would love to have a Corona with that guy.
One. That would be a cool one.
I heard he's got a shortage of those, though.
Hendrix. Hendrix would be cool. I feel like he'd just be like a chill guy. Hanging out.
He'd be super high.
Yeah. I could get behind that, you know?
Yeah. It'd be fun. Okay, that's it. Very last question, and it's for everybody. And this is new to the season 7 of Ego and Vice. I asked Backseat Dragon this. I asked Kingfisher this, and I'm going to ask you this.
So,
who is Root Cause?
I don't think they're anything.
It's the dirt that you step on when you're on the sidewalk. It's the crumbled up leaves at the end of your street.
You know the stuff when you're barefoot and it's kind of on your feet after you take your shoes off? That's Root Cause.
We're the water in your socks.
You know whenever you've been drinking all night and then, but you haven't eaten anything, and then finally you pull trig and like you just, it's like the first little bit of bile? I'd say that.
That's a good analogy.
Get tickets today, folks. It's going to be a good one. Anyway, I want to thank you guys very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. Stu, you can keep the socks.
Thank you.
And I wish you nothing but the best. And I'm definitely going to check out a show in the future.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
And all the best.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
And yeah, it's pretty fun to hang out in the sun, but all I think about on my lungs, grab up some black stuff, spit it out now in the bathtub.
So that's the end of episode 127. I want to thank Liam, Alex, and Stu for coming down to Southwood Studio and hanging out and telling their story and sharing some of their music. And Stu, you owe me a pair of socks. I'm just kidding. You can keep those. Anyway, if you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at egoinvice@gmail.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, just go to egoinvicepodcast.com. Everything you ever needed, every link you ever could hope for is there. And that's where you'll find it. Anyway, season 7, I've said it 3 times on this podcast again. I might as well say it again. Season 7 rolls on. And yeah, I'm just going to keep going till the wheels come off, my friends. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Thanks.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.